The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Friday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network, VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. However you're taking us in, we appreciate it. It's Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Midland in the Izzy. What's happening?
Not much, man. How you doing?
Ah, I'm good, man. There's some breaking kicker news. Could you share it with everybody? Breaking kicker news?
Yeah, we do. We do.
Breaking kicker news.
Michael Badgley out for the season with a torn hamstring. He suffered in practice. If you're wondering where he's at these days, it is the Detroit Lions is where
he's at. Most people still think of him as a Charger, I think.
But yeah, practice yesterday apparently suffered a significant injury, but it is a torn hamstring, according to Adam Schefter, will be out for the season.
And as you said, you are no physician. You did not go to medical school.
Not a single year of medical school. Hamstrings seem important for a kicker.
Yep. There you go. Breaking news right out the top. On the show today, Zach Cohen, VSiN, writer and editor, going to talk some Olympic tennis and men's basketball with us in the Olympics. Olympics opening ceremony tonight. I know we've had sports being played, but tonight is the official opening. LeBron James, Coco Gauff carrying our flag.
Well, this is where the Olympics coverage gets tricky, because I think I saw like a 10:30 a.m. time on it. I don't know if that's Eastern or Pacific time for when it would be live, but I'm guessing NBC is replaying.
Oh, yeah. Later, I mean, live, yes. Correct. Time zone difference.
Yeah.
Jordan Sherwood on UFC 304. Chris Felica, a little college football and beyond. Jason Weingarten as well. What division do we have today? AFC South. We will discuss today as we just continue our July division-by-division sort of analysis, which really leans a lot this week because it's preview guide season on FTN and Aaron Schatz's appearance earlier this week. I think more than any appearance we've had this summer, let's put it that way, I think his appearance was the most sort of blow-up-all-your-bets appearance of anybody. Do you not agree with that?
Ooh,
everything he said was contrary.
Well, first of all, Aaron's always amazing.
Always fascinating.
It was a great guest appearance.
Yes.
I think a little yes, a little no.
Okay. I'm going to say yes. Thinks the Patriots are going to win 7. Thinks the Falcons have the worst defense in the NFL. Under on the Colts and the Bears. What else? Saints to win the division. Man, it just kept going on and on. Best value bets for the Super Bowl. Dolphins, yeah. Texans. Well,
Saints to win the division, I think was the – I think to me that's the hottest take.
But just even when we went through it division by division, we'll continue today with the AFC South. Like putting it in the context, their perspective is so interesting. And we'll talk in what is a cluttered division in the AFC South. And there's tons of opinions. And you will probably be shocked by how they have the order of teams. Kelly, you particularly head-to-head with Schatz on a lot of these. Let's just say he doesn't like your Colts bet very much.
Okay. Well, the only Colts bets I have, though, is swinging way high on Anthony Richardson.
Well,
Anthony Richardson's MVP.
Well, he doesn't like it. No, I shouldn't say that. No, we'll get into it.
I would say the only one we're actually really head-to-head on is the Patriots.
Okay. All right. Well, yeah. I don't know. Here's the thing also that happened in the – well, first of all, before we get to Zach, my tennis bets for the Olympics, I have Iga minus 175 to win the women's side. I have Carlitos at plus 135 to win the men's side. That was made before Jannik Sinner pulled out. Nothing real spectacular there. I did make a quarter bet yesterday. By the time we said on the show yesterday, oh, my God, if you can find Coco Gauff, whatever her number is, pound away in Q4. We were doing the show, so we couldn't bet it. But Kelly said, hey, MGM has minus 110. By the time we got off air, minus 160. So I didn't bet that. But I did bet Karolina Mukova to win Q2 at plus 155. And that was quite the adventure, Kelly, I must say. Because it wasn't simple as going into our old good buddies over there across the town and just putting down a dime on plus 155 or anything. I had to bet it 14 or try to bet it 14 different times to get a dime down. Never moved it. Still got it. Plus 155. Karolina Mukova to win Q2 with Rybakina gone in this tournament. I don't know if it clears the way more for Iga because Iga's side of the bracket, once again, is much more difficult. Coco got the best of it. So those are the three bets. Iga and Carlitos to win. Karolina Mukova plus 550. Excuse me, plus 155. Pardon me. But plus 550, by the way. It's not plus 155 on the screen. Plus 550 to win Q2. Did I write that wrong or did you guys write that wrong? I don't know. Maybe. It's plus 550 anyway. Okay. So we'll talk to Zach about
you
that.
You did, actually.
I did. Yeah, I might have messed
I should have. You know what? I'm upset with myself, though, because I should have grabbed your entire text from yesterday.
Yes.
Into a graphic.
I texted Kelly my exhaustive attempt to bet this 14 different
times. It's such
times.
A great example of betting in Las Vegas. Like, and it specifically for a bet like this that I'm not going to say is it's not maybe a super popular bet, but it's also not like a super obscure bet either.
It involves, let's put it this way, it involves seeing it on the app, going to the desk, them saying, no, you can only bet it on the app. Fine, put it on the app. Then doing the whole, you know, they limit you. But then it's just a dumb, nonsensical limit because eventually you got the same amount you wanted in the first place on it. It just took you 14 times to do it.
Right.
The message being, what the heck is going on? What are we doing? What are we doing? None of it makes sense. You didn't move the line on me. What are we doing? I don't know, it's too exhaustive. It's too detailed to get it by the end of the show.
It would have been just funny
it's
to look at.
It's a scroll. It's like reading the Torah, for God's sakes, making a bet. A little reference for a certain portion of the audience. The other thing that happened in the NFL, we got the Badgley news. Russell Wilson, calf injury, yes?
Yeah.
Now, you think this is – you'd like to make more of this than people are.
I don't know. I mean, look, the team's downplaying it, right, and they're saying they're being cautious, yeah. But – you just hear a calf with a quarterback. Like, it's, I mean, and not even, obviously, we have last year to go off of.
The Joe Burrow Zapruder film footage of his calf injury.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And it's just, I don't know, it's a little bit of a red flag, and especially with a guy that, the team brought in another quarterback as well for you to, in theory, to compete with, or their quarterback of their future, a little bit with Justin Fields. So, I mean, look, there are betting markets of week one starting quarterbacks. I think this is a little fascinating.
Why don't we take a gander? By the way, Russell Wilson, 35 years old, will be 36 in November. So, yes, these are up. Who will be the week one starter? We've looked at this earlier in the summer, but this Russell Wilson thing gives us entree to talk about it again because I do think there's a couple that are pretty interesting. Russell Wilson's still the big favorite to be the week one starter for the Pittsburgh Steelers. He's at minus 750. If you think this is a thing, though, Justin Fields at plus 450 sits out there. These are available at DraftKings. Let me cut down to the bottom. Jacoby Brissett minus 900 to be the Patriots week one starter. Drake May plus 550. I think that's, you know, appropriately priced. Everything we heard is that Jacoby Brissett will be. In fact, Gerard Mayo saying he's what was his turn of phrase this week? Pro-ready quarterback.
He most pro-ready quarterback.
He's the most pro-ready quarterback we have. That's not a good thing to say. But Jacoby Brissett, certainly a veteran. It's more of a, what are you trying to say about Drake May right now?
By the way, there's some of these things that go on in sports. I like Jacoby Brissett. Everybody knows that anyways. I like him separately. But you know how much respect I have for some of these guys like him that just know, like, it's, you're going to go into a season that you likely have no chance to succeed in. You're likely going to lose your job at some point, and you have to be okay signing up for that.
I bet your mindset for a guy like that has to shift at some point too. I've been this great athlete all my career, all my life.
Mm-hmm.
Now I view it as having a really good job.
Yeah, I think so. But bravo for you being able to shift to that mindset, right?
So. Okay, second from the bottom, Daniel Jones minus 550 to be the starting quarterback week one for the Giants. Drew Lock. How many people listening were like, Drew Lock is the backup quarterback in New York? Plus 380.
That one even, I mean, I'm not running to bet that, but doesn't that feel a little light still? Like, they're going to roll out Daniel Jones week one.
Yeah, in fact, it was shorter than this when it first came out.
Yep.
So this is drifting towards Jones even more. Now, the two that we left for last year are the most interesting. The Vikings, Sam Darnold's minus 500, J.J. McCarthy 3-1. There is a guy, by the way, Drew Lock, just to finish up the Giants thing, he said he was told Daniel Jones is the starter of the team. That's been conveyed to me. So that might be all you really need to know about that.
Right.
Let's just sort of, if you take him at his word, barring injuries, of course, with all this. Okay, so there's Luke Easterling, who used to write for Sports Illustrated and is now a writer for Athlon, Pro Football Writers Association. He's a member. He says that there is a shot that J.J. McCarthy starts week one.
Yeah.
So if you believe one guy anyway, J.J. McCarthy is 3-1 as the dog, Sam Darnold minus 500.
I mean, I've heard that. Also, I mean, going back to the Patriots real quick, it was Adam Chernoff's podcast. He's doing a bunch of team previews right now. Simple Handicap, right? I think that's the name of his.
That's correct. Yeah.
Wanted to make sure I got it right. He's doing a great job. He's doing like each team previews, but he's trying to grab like someone who covers the team and talk to them. I'm blanking on who he had on to talk about the Patriots, but he threw out there an outside chance of if May looks good in camp, he thinks there's a better chance than most people are making it
for Drake May.
Yeah, if Drake May grabbing the week one starting.
And then the biggest coin flip of them all, because those are all pretty large favorites, but the coin flip just barely a favorite now. Aiden O'Connell. We're talking the Raiders now. Aiden O'Connell opened here at plus 170-ish to be the week one starter going up against Gardner Minshew. O'Connell going into his second year, Gardner Minshew going into his sixth.
Mm-hmm.
Gardner Minshew coming over from the Colts because obviously he saw Anthony Richardson. He's like, yeah, I probably shouldn't stick around here. O'Connell now a minus 120 slight favorite. Gardner Minshew even money. Antonio Pierce's comments on this just yesterday. Local news reporter asked him, what about it, week one? And Antonio Pierce, in his usual eloquent way, said, we'll know when it's obvious. Unquote.
They are splitting snaps at camp.
They are splitting them. It's going to be a training camp and preseason thing.
Yeah. I still lean Minshew, but at this price.
At this price, there's no bet. But when it came out, plus 170, I wish I sort of latched onto that. My bad on that. What's the best bet if you had to make one of all those?
Oh, man, I'd probably still lay it.
Lay it with one of the favorites, Daniel Jones or something. Yep. Coming back, Zach Cohen on tennis next.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Don't forget to check out our website, VSiN.com. Saratoga picks from Mike Somich on there, Del Mar as well. Zach on the Olympics, the tennis tournament, JVT on Olympics men's basketball. So much there at the homepage. And, of course, best bets, betting splits, exclusive articles, odds by state, betting tools, and betting guides, all at vsin.com. Real quick, some tweets because we'll never catch up otherwise.
I have your answer really quick, too. Chad Ochocinco.
Oh, well, let's get to that.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, before we that's apropos of nothing.
Sorry.
Jamie Leva, I was not expecting to see Snoop and Dionne Warwick lighting and passing the spliff. I mean, torch this morning. Did I mention I love this show? You guys are the best. Have a great weekend, gentlemen. Oh, I didn't see that with Snoop and Dionne Warwick. Oh, interesting.
Me either, but I'll have Olympics on.
Trust the glove. I love the Torah image, although it would be me making a bet while reading the Old Testament. Yes, that's true. That would not be cool. Steven Brosek, 1870. Gil fires Kelly on air to start the week. Then Bill Crackman starts telling unwanted heist stories to get the show shut down yesterday. Kelly will be unemployed by football season if he likes it or not. I did not fire him.
Hey, all Crack was doing yesterday was reporting the news.
It's just reporting the news.
This is a news reporting starting to sometimes.
And I was apologizing to Kelly, and then it got awkward. Steve the Proxy, if only we knew someone that could deploy Delicious on Antonio Pearson, an upscale valet, to find out who really is the starter for week one for the team that decided to make fun of Mahomes yesterday with a Kermit puppet. Gil, is this something you might be interested in? Let me explain all the references in there. I live in the same complex as Antonio Pierce, and one time we were leaving, and it was Antonio Pierce first, I think Delicious second, and then me third. I could work up the courage to ask him who the week one starter is. Maybe I will. But can you believe the Raiders doing that Kermit the Frog thing to Mahomes? What are they doing?
Talk about a
stupid
decision that feels dumb in the moment, and I'm sure will feel dumber later.
Chrissy Andrews, my mishpucha, not happy with my Mike Tomlin slander. And then Phil Weiss, he said, you guys are right. It must be tough on Brissett. Well, I didn't say it was tough. I was the one who said he has to transition into it being a job. He said, according to SportTrack, Jacoby Brissett's lifetime earnings, $50,881,475. You're exactly right, Phil. That's my point. Still a good job.
Better
job than you'll get in the real world. Ladies and gentlemen, let's talk some UFC 304. Jordan Sherwood joins us now, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line. Always pumped to have Jordan on, co-host of the Unnamed MMA podcast at ESPN Chicago, at Wood on ESPN 1000 on the old Twitter machine. What's happening, Jordan?
Everything is good. We got a big UFC fight card taking place across the pond. So pleasure to speak to you guys as always and talk about some of the fights.
Well, let's start. I know you don't have an official bet on the main event between Leon Edwards and Bilal Muhammad. Muhammad, a big dog here, but your thoughts anyway.
Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting matchup. It's 2 years in the making. It's a rematch. These guys fought a few years ago. The fight was stopped because of an eye poke. Bilal Muhammad was rendered unable to continue, and he's been thinking about this fight since that point. It's really interesting because this fight is obviously taking place in England, and a lot of money has come in on the English fighters, particularly those English fighters that are fighting Americans or Brazilians, not, you know, fellow European fighters. I mean, shifting odds almost a dollar in their favor. That's not the case on Leon Edwards and Bilal Muhammad. It has kind of remained at where it is. Bilal Muhammad at a 2-1 underdog. He's going to come in with pressure. He's going to come in with a wrestling game and try to utilize the tutelage he's been receiving now for the last year under Khabib Nurmagomedov to become the champion. And the problem with that is that Leon Edwards has great takedown defense. He's been in there the last three fights with fellow wrestlers, Colby Covington and Kamaru Usman. He's got a great clinch game, and he is a sniper when it comes to striking. So, you know, Bilal Muhammad's going to have to walk through fire if he's going to, you know, become champion, win rounds, and get his hand raised. It's a tall task. But I think if anybody could do it, and if there's something to fire off on, it's right now where it is at that 2-1 price with Bilal Muhammad, because I've talked to him, and it's not a biased pick because he's from Chicago. But if you want to go on an underdog and you think the timing is right, it is Bilal Muhammad and the matchup that he brings to a fight against Leon Edwards.
I'd call you a homer, but you didn't pull the trigger on the bet, so I can't call you a homer. But I get the sentiment. All right. Co-main, you do have an opinion on. Now, we talked about this with Lou yesterday. It's Tom Aspinall against Curtis Blaydes. And we were talking about Curtis Blaydes. The only thing I knew about him is that he had this, you know, he has no chin. Lou said, he goes, it's a porcelain jaw is what was his term on this. And then you inform us one of the great nicknames ever, right? Curtis Razor Blaydes. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, here? I mean, just playing off of his last name, obviously great. But he's in for a world of hurt. I mean, look, I want to back Chicago fighters, but Blaydes is walking into this one like he's the White Sox, you know, and Tom Aspinall is really any other team in Major League Baseball when they play the White Sox. Aspinall is special. He set the UFC record for shortest amount of time spent in the octagon. He's a heavyweight that moves like a welterweight. He's got great boxing. He's a Brazilian jiu-jitsu black belt. And I think he's going to literally steamroll Curtis Razor Blaydes. I don't think the wrestling that Blaydes could potentially utilize is going to come in as a weapon. And Aspinall, this is his coming out party again. And it's now been announced. Dana White made it official. The winner of this fight will meet the winner of John Jones, Stipe Miocic, to unify the championships. So that's a huge opportunity for Aspinall. I think at a 4-1 price, not worth it whatsoever. Tom Aspinall, the win by KO, though, $1.80. We've seen, as you just mentioned, Lou, mentioning Blaydes being knocked out. He's been knocked out a couple of times before. I think Aspinall gets it done. And even juicier, I would say Aspinall knockout in round one, if you could find it. Might even be plus money on some books. So, yeah, this is going to be a short fight. I think Curtis Blaydes has no option but to look for a double leg, and he's going to run into a knock, an uppercut. And Aspinall's going to have his hand raised likely in that first round.
By knockout and knockout in round one, if you can find it, on Tom Aspinall in the co-main. All right, right before the co-main event is the lightweight bout between Bobby Green and Paddy Pimblett. Now, Bobby Green has, you've let us know, officially changed his name to King Green. That, Kelly, if you can go back to what you were saying earlier, that got us thinking, what is your favorite sports name, official name change of all time? And you were saying it's Ocho Cinco for you?
No, I don't really have an answer, but like, yeah. Chad Johnson to Ocho Cinco, I feel like is the one of the most well-known ones.
Yeah.
And we were wondering, is he still named that? Apparently he's changed his name back, except Ocho Cinco is his middle name now.
Oh, I see. Yeah,
so Chad thought, Ocho Cinco Johnson now.
His felt like more of a gag, whereas like Meta World Peace from Ron Artest, my favorite still Lloyd Free to World Be Free. Still the best. So you have King Green and Paddy Pimblett here, and you definitely have a thought and a bet.
Yeah, I do. Look, I think, you know, obviously, I think the UFC wants Paddy Pimblett to be a star. He's very recognizable. He's fun in interviews, and at times he is an entertaining fighter. But I don't think he's lived up to the hype. I think he's benefited from some controversial decisions. He's benefited from some favorable matchups. This is not one. He's not going to have an advantage against Bobby Green, even though Bobby Green now is like 36 years of age, been in, you know, 50 mixed martial arts fights. He will not have an advantage on the feet. Bobby Green's not going to be intimidated going into hostile territory with a crowd that's going to be pro Paddy. And if this fight can get to the ground, maybe Paddy has the advantage, but Bobby Green has elusive boxing, very strong takedown defense. And this is one of those lines where Paddy Pimblett was a big-time underdog, almost plus 150, plus 160 when the line opened. It's now a virtual pick'em, so that's money coming in on Paddy Pimblett. I think you could even wait a little bit further for some more money to come in on Paddy Pimblett before you fire off on King Green. I think King Green can get his hand raised, so that would be certainly a play that I would recommend. He's just a better fighter than what we've seen so far from Paddy Pimblett. The only thing that I could think of happening is Bobby Green gets a little careless, gets a little reckless in there. Paddy Pimblett lands something, takes him down, and submits him. But again, Bobby Green, not a guy that gets submitted a lot, and I don't think Paddy Pimblett can knock him out. So all I like Bobby. I like King Green in the fight. Sorry, got to call him by his actual
name. That's all right.
King Green
we understand.
In the fight.
But your strategy is stick around, wait a little before you pull the trigger on it?
I think particularly on that one, because now it's a pick 'em. So I think you could wait a little bit further until Paddy becomes the overall favorite, and then you fire off on King Green.
Okay, 60 seconds for the last one. Let's go to the prelims. There's a women's strawweight fight. Bruna Brasil, Molly McCann.
Yeah, Molly McCann's the darling, for overseas, for English fighters. She's finally at the weight that she should be fighting at strawweight. And she's going to get a favorable matchup against Bruna Brasil. The only times that Meatball Molly, a great nickname, by the way, struggles is against grapplers, against wrestlers. That's not Bruna Brasil. She's a striker. This is a layup for Molly McCann. So I think not at that price, at $4 favorite, nope. But to win inside the distance, to win by knockout, would be my recommended plays for Meatball Molly. She's going to get her hand raised because the UFC wants her to be successful.
All right. Aspinall TKO, minus 180. King Green, minus 105, but wait, he might get some plus money on that. And Molly McCann, plus 150. The bet again on Molly McCann is?
Is inside the distance or even
inside
knockout.
The distance.
I think those, yeah, inside the distance.
Okay.
You know, play it safe with either submission or a KO.
I believe you called it a layup. All right.
It's a layup.
Have fun, English fans, that this card starts at 3 a.m. local time in England.
Yeah. Woo. Is that for us? I guess that's for us, huh?
Yeah.
That is for us.
At a normal time. Thank you, Jordan. Appreciate it. Jordan Sherwood, everybody, on UFC 304. Chris Velika standing by on the other side. All his bets, Olympics and beyond, next on A Numbers Game at Visa, the Sports Betting Network.
The numbers told the story. They always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is A Numbers Game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Hour number two of A Numbers Game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV. Gil Alexander. It's Kelly Bidlin. We're looking at Felica in the camera while he's standing by. He's like buttoning down his shirt. Please,
just
for
trying
God's
to match
sakes.
The show, man.
Yeah, he's the bear. You know what that could mean. I have no idea what I'm talking about. Still to come, Jason Weingarten. We'll continue with the AFC South. But he joins us now, courtesy of the Progressive Guest Line, now that his shirt is back to being buttoned. You may know him as the bear. It's Chris Felica from Fox Sports, at Chris Felica, F-A-L-L-I-C-A, on Twitter. Joining us back at home on the East Coast after spending his whole summer in L.A. Yeah. Covering soccer. What's happening, man?
I call this the Gill. homage to you.
Yeah. So
by the way, nice schedule you have, by the way. Work a week, vacation, work a week, vacation.
You know what's interesting?
Like that's a good racket you got
going on.
You
know what's interesting about that is other people will just disappear forever and no one says a word about them. But I do that and people are like, hey, you're leaving again? Oh, just don't want them to forget me. Okay, we have many sports to talk about. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about your bread and butter first, which is college football. And I just want to go back to, you had a long shot Heisman pick when you came on several weeks ago. Could you refresh our memory where that stands, if there's anybody else you're betting in Heisman markets?
Yeah, Julian Sain, who is in the competition to be Ohio State's starting quarterback, was someone that he was 100-1. That I bet to win the Heisman, thinking that Ohio State, their starting quarterback, was going to be a Heisman candidate. And at the time, I wasn't sure what way they were going to go. And I'm still really not sure ultimately what's going to happen. But my sense is that Ohio State is so loaded that they probably will go with Will Howard, the experienced veteran who they brought in from Kansas State via the portal, to turn the keys over to him at least early in the year. But my guess is Sain will see a lot of time early in the year, and still possibly by the second half of the year, he could be the guy. But I think at the start of the year, when Ohio State plays nobody, we'll see a bunch of both. Decision then.
Okay. And did you bet anybody else?
Yeah, I did. I actually bet one of the Ohio State teammates, Jeremiah Smith, the freshman wide receiver who, by all accounts, is a complete freak show. Tall, physical. I know that the immediate comparison some people have made to him is Julio Jones. Sorry, I lost my train of thought there for a second, but he is wowing people there. I've heard from people that he could potentially be a top five or top 10 pick right now if he would have left out of high school. I hear he's the real deal. And if you're in a situation here where maybe you're kind of poking holes in some of the quarterbacks at the top of the rankings there in the top 10 and looking for someone other than a quarterback to win, maybe he's the type of guy who can win. Remember, we saw Devontae Smith win in 2020, so it's not uncommon for a wide receiver to win. So I did bet Jeremiah Smith. He was at about 150-1 to win. So I got him as well. And then the only other college football thing I bet this week, and I added to a position. I can't remember if it was this show or if it was with Will and Dave Ross. I bet more Arizona under 8, and it's 8 minus 140 at DraftKings. I just think the move to the Big 12 with the coaching staff, I know they bring Fafita and T-Mac back. They lost so much on up front on the defensive line, which was a big part of their success last year. They got to go to Utah. They got to go to TCU. They got to go to Kansas State. They got BYU on the road. And what they're going to face, I think, even at home, in Colorado at home, who knows how Colorado is going to be. I think 7-5 is certainly on the table for Arizona. Remember, this is a team that I think had a 20-game losing streak going into last year. And the improvement they made under Jed Fish and his assistants and his support staff was pretty amazing. And now with Fish and all those guys gone and a lot of them moved on to Washington, we'll see if Brennan and his coaching staff can do the same thing. But I'm under 8 on Arizona, and I added to that yesterday.
All right. By the way, Heisman Trophy odds, in case you're wondering, Dylan Gabriel of Oregon plus 750, Carson Beck 8-1 before you get to the double-digit folks there for Heisman. Is that the front sheet right there for Heisman? Yeah, I guess so. Okay. Quinn Ewers, by the way, leading the double-digit parade. All quarterbacks there on the left side of that screen. So where's the first non-quarterback in there? Man, it is loaded with quarterbacks. Okay. Baseball. Kelly, by the way, we're winning this VEASAN-wide contest because the Braves Braves are only a game and a half clear of being on the outside looking in.
Let's go.
It's indeed. What are your baseball thoughts, sir?
Well, I've got that at 22-1 from back way back when, so I'm feeling pretty good about that. And I fired this week as well on the Yankees at plus 1,700 to miss the playoffs in the same vein. Like they're 4.5 clear right now of the Red Sox. They've got 3 games at Fenway this week. This is a team, they're 10-22 in their last 32 games. They got the 6 on the road at Boston and Philly coming up. And you look, they face Cutter Crawford. They face Tanner Houck. They face Wheeler, Nola, and Sanchez in 5 of those 6 games. It's a horrific lineup outside of Judge and Soto. It's clear that they're not going to be a big buyer at the deadline. They're going to look through the discount rack and try and add some pieces here or there. They're not going to be in the crochet sweepstakes or anyone like that. You saw the Mariners make a move last night, which will probably be a big asset for them and Randy Arozarena. They can certainly get into wildcard consideration again now with that rotation. I think the Yankees are a team on the decline, and I think you can find worse bets out there than them at plus 1,700 to miss the playoffs. And then on the flip side, I think this was definitely with Dave and Will a couple weeks back. We were talking about NL MVP, and I mentioned, like, can you make a case for Francisco Lindor? And at the time, I really didn't know if I necessarily believed it, but if you look at like, what he's done the last couple of months,
incredible.
298, 13 homers, 33 RBIs, 12 stolen bases. He's third in the National League amongst hitters in WAR. Now, look, I get the Mets were 22-33 on the morning of May 30th. They're 32-15 since, and that coincides with this eruption from Lindor. We all know how the New York media market can go and drive a narrative and drive a story. We saw it. I remember when you were excited a couple of years back when Brian Daboll won Coach of the Year. So we've seen that happen before.
Yeah.
What happened? Yeah, we're handicapping voters. There may be some people out there who say, you know what, Shohei Ohtani, he's a DH. He's not even playing in the field. He's not pitching. There were people out there last year who didn't think he should win the MVP in the American League, despite the fact he was the best hitter and the best pitcher in the AL. The Dodgers were supposed to be good. Who knows how maybe there's some voters out there that kind of rolling their eyes about the gambling situation with him and be like, yeah, that's really what happened. Like, I think there's some people out there, and it'll be interesting to see how they potentially handle the vote for him. You've got Bryce Harper, who won Juan Soto's MVP a couple of years ago. Maybe people view the Phillies as being bolstered by that rotation this year and not necessarily Harper. I'm just saying, do I ultimately think Lindor is going to win? Probably not. He's down to, 19-1, I think, when I checked this morning. I still think it's worth the play. But if the Mets make the playoffs, he is absolutely going to be in this thing.
Yeah, it's Shohei minus 400. It's Bryce Harper plus 450. And then it's Lindor at 19-1, who has been Bobby Witt hot. And I sort of view him the same way I do Witt, which is I want so badly to bet Bobby Witt Jr., but I see Judge's stats. And no matter how bad the Yankees get, I just feel like it's a, like you said, it's a New York bias. It's almost the opposite of what you're saying. It's a New York bias.
Right.
I can't possibly bet Bobby Witt Jr. But with Lindor, I look at Shohei stats, 31 homers, 74 ribbies, and I'm like, yeah, but right, I just can't quite get to a bet on Witt or Lindor, but I completely understand why you for all the reasons you state why that is a tempting bet. Olympics, we got 2 minutes. What do you bet?
Yeah, I bet France national team soccer to win gold. I think it's down to like plus 160 now. Like they are the best team. I think Spain is right there atop the odds boards with them, but this is not Spain did not bring really any of the players that were a part of the recent Euro championship run that they had in Germany. France has Mateta, Lacazette, Michael Olise. Like they're loaded. They are the best team. They completely shut down the U.S. in the opening match 3-0. It's kind of a trial run for Thierry Henry. Maybe he gets a bigger position throughout the world in the coaching ranks. But I know Drew was very high on France under 24.5 goals. I think it was. This is probably one of the goals that France is going to win. So even at plus 160, I would suggest a play on France to win the gold here in men's soccer.
Okay. Any thoughts on the Paraguay-Israel match? Any thoughts on that one?
Paraguay were one of the weaker, terrible sides in Copa, and certainly not the team that they once were back around 2010. And you know how scrappy the Israelis can be on the pitch. Feels like an Israel draw. Israel double chance, win or draw for Israel there. Like, how about that?
You know how scrappy Israel can be on the pitch.
I went to the Paraguay breakdown for you to try to make you feel better.
Yeah. Well, Paraguay's
I remember 2010 World Cup. They were Anthony Alcaraz was a good defender, and they were kind of a middling Conan Ball team that could beat some of the big boys. This is not that team now. They were terrible in Copa a couple of weeks back. I bet some alternate win totals at the D. Right behind you, by the way, when I was there with Kelly and Jared last week, by the way.
Oh, would you fire?
I bet the Vikings over 7.5, Seahawks over 8.5, Jets over 10.5, Falcons under 8.5, Chargers under 7.5, and Buccaneers under 6.5.
Oh.
There we go.
Wait,
there's a deep dive breakdown on all those bets.
There it is. Deep dive. Thank you, Chris. Chris Felik, everybody. The Bear, El Oso. You know how Israel can be on the pitch. Thank you. And AFC South continues next.
A numbers game on VC. VSIN, the sports betting network.
Our website lives. VSIN.com, best bets, betting slips, exclusive articles, odds by state, betting tools, betting guides. Some really good baseball stats on there as well. Sneaky good at VSIN.com. Check it out. And, of course, on the front page today, a smattering of sports as per usual. Saratoga picks once again up there from Ed Sehan. And Adam Burke with his NFL betting guide, previews, picks, and predictions. Josh Applebaum on his MLB betting splits piece. Adam Burke also in there with NFL Survivor Pools. How about that? Blueprint for all 18 weeks. Survivor season is upon us. It's all at VSIN.com. You going to do Survivor this year, Kelly?
Yeah.
You going to do...
I'm going to be in.
You going to be Circa Millions also?
Yeah.
How many entries for each?
Probably one. Just one and one.
One and one?
Yeah. Probably.
I'm definitely doing millions. But who knows how many.
Or I don't like. I always do 2 millions, I should say. One by myself. One I always split with a buddy back east.
Have you ever flirted with greatness in millions or in any like contest?
I've been live going into the final weeks of quarters multiple times.
Oh, okay.
Probably 3 or 4
times. Talking about the full season.
No, like. Absolutely not.
Yeah, me neither.
I mean, I've had multiple where I've hit, I think I've had 2 seasons in millions where I've hit over 60%. You just don't even come close.
The 1 year I was in the gold contest over there at the Westgate, I think I got deep into that where I was, like, interested literally through 10 or 11 weeks, and then I fell off. But that was a, you know, smaller pool, obviously, too. But Survivor's the gift that keeps on giving. Joe Pita's back in it this year. He was talking about how pumped he is about it.
I've never played it.
You've never done Survivor?
Not at Circa. I've played it at other places. I've never done Circa Survivor.
Oh, man, it's the greatest thing ever.
I'm always the guy who craps out early.
Although I will say this, and I know I'm going to let the hate wash over me. That whole run down the stretch last year, where and by the way, Greg Jones was so kind to like share with us everything he was doing. Fezzik was part of that. So we were like really into the weeds on how folks were trying to monetize their pools down the stretch. That was almost more stressful than the game itself. And I wonder if you were alive.
It's the legend Randy McKay.
It's Randy McKay off it. If you were still alive like the last 4 or 5 weeks and you were monetizing it, you almost dread it in some weird way.
Yeah.
Because you're like, oh, now I got to deal with this. And I got to deal with everybody telling me what I'm doing wrong and what I'm doing right. Like, I feel like everybody's a know-it-all down the stretch. Mm-hmm. And it kind of.
Including us, yep.
Well, we tried not giving our opinions, you and me, because there were people way smarter than us who were.
We tried not to. Yeah. But
I'm just saying, like, it was this weird thing that before last year I hadn't really felt it. But last year I was like, oh, my God, this sounds terrible now. And then we all went out to dinner with the winners and we were all having a great time. But I'm just saying it added a little bit of negativity to it for me.
I think you had a great point even beginning, you know, this probably around this time last year of the, you know, what's the correct number to be playing, right?
Oh, entries, yeah.
Yeah, entries wise. I think that's a fascinating discussion.
People lose their mind when I say that. They think they're so much smarter than me on that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just rolling with one. I'm always a guy, like, I've done Survivor contests before. Like, I don't know that I've gotten beyond week like 6 ever.
Oh. People have trouble because I say you play only one optimally.
Right.
Okay. But again, that doesn't mean like I'm only playing one. I'm starting with a bunch, but ultimately the other stuff is overrated. If you can get deep with multiple, then it's not overrated.
Right.
Obviously. But the people who do, and then people use that as evidence to suggest why that's a better way, they're a smallest fraction of people who get that way. That doesn't prove that I'm wrong. Right?
No,
it just proves
that
you were the smallest amount of, you were in that small thimble of a percentage that was able to make it work for you. But for most people,
that's also like you're talking like the, you know, playing it optimally too. Like that's the, I've never gotten deep in a Survivor contest, but that's good. Like I'm usually taking pretty big risks like early on. Like teams that I think I know better than, right? And want to get out of the way to be able to capitalize on them early to set up the back end better.
I've gotten deep in one or two in my life, and I almost am thankful I only have one at that point.
Yeah. Yep.
But.
People are going to
so much. People have their thoughts on it. I think that
it's so great.
Like I was saying, I always do one Circa Millions myself. I do one I split with a buddy back east. I think much like fantasy football, things like this, if you split contests with old friends, like what does it do? I'm a guy who's in his late 30s now. Some of your friends that you've had from, you know, high school, college, early 20s or whatever, that you don't talk to much these days because everybody's lives are so busy. It like forces you to have a conversation every single week, right? So like, it's one of my favorite parts. It's one of my good friends.
Oh, you become obsessed with it.
Yeah, but like, it makes you keep in touch with someone. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Split these contests.
I know everybody talks about it. We were the only show talking about it for a couple years, right? It's obsession. It's an absolute obsession. Mm-hmm. You said you were in your late 30s?
Yeah.
Aren't you 36?
37, about to turn 38.
Oh, okay. Because I was going to say, if you're 36.
Qualifies for late, right?
Yeah, a little late. People who are like 36 who say they're late 30s, I'm like, no, you're still mid. 34 through 36, still mid. I have one tennis pick later today, by the way. This is the last tennis matches before the Olympics. We hit on Magda Linette this morning, easy peasy, and then I got the best of a walkover, finally.
Nice. Look at you.
That feels so good.
You're like 1-22 in your past 23.
That's correct.
Walkovers.
That's right. But God bless America, I got one back this morning. So we're 1-0 today, and the only one I have left is in Atlanta. That's tonight on the hard courts. I am taking a dog, Mattia Bellucci. Plus 133 is what the price is right now against the Frenchman Arthur Rinderknecht. That is in is a French player, but that's in Atlanta tonight. And again, I put these out, as does every host and guest on the network, every sport, at VSiN.com/picks. That is for subscribers. And by the way, I got Bellucci at the exact same number yesterday.
How is Tiafo only minus 200 over a dude I've never heard before?
Yoshihito Nishioka?
Yeah.
Because Nishioka's been playing really well all of a sudden.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I thought Karatsev might take down Tiafoe. I didn't have a bet in it, but Tiafoe is big foe is great in the United States.
I was going to say, there's only two names left in this tournament I even recognize.
You recognize Big Foe, and you recognize Jordan Thompson.
Oh, no, I don't have no idea who that is. His opponent tonight, Alejandro Davidovich Fekina, because right. You've played him a few times.
By the way, Junshin Chang beating... Ben Shelton yesterday. I was going to text you and say, oh, look, just watch Ben Shelton lose a match.
Oh,
you enjoy that.
Yeah, I do.
Golf tournament.
You know what? It's not that I want the guy to lose. I just don't like watching him win.
Okay. Do you know what happens when you don't win? Andrew Novak is your leader at the 3M Open. That's in Minnesota. He's 9-under. He shot 3-under through 13 today. He's a one-stroke lead over Matt Neesmith, who is 5-under for the day, 8-under for the tournament. And Jacob Bridgman is also one shot back. Jacob Bridgman was the first round leader. Did any of you all have Jacob Bridgman shooting a 63 yesterday?
No.
Jacob Bridgman, no relation to former Milwaukee Buck Jr. Bridgman, who apparently made millions upon millions of dollars after his NBA career.
Was listening to Jacob Bridgman speak after his round yesterday, too. And, man, these flights are still an issue for people around the country. I guess I wasn't aware of that. Like, that's terrible. It's still happening. His caddy had to drive his clubs up from Sacramento, and they're in Minneapolis.
From Sacramento,
and then there was something about like a putt, like the him needing his backup putter. You always love hearing these stories. You have like first round leader bets, and this guy. Oh yeah, it's my putter from college, and I haven't used it like in 5 years. That was the story of Jacob Bridgman yesterday. Putter looking good.
He has eight birdies
on his round yesterday.
Yeah, he's not teed off today. He's just chilling at the under one back now. Your guys have not teed off either, right? Your guys meaning
Finau and Mitchell.
Yeah.
I do have Rico Hoey, who's not doing very well, but he was 75-1.
All right. So besides Bellucci, then again tonight in tennis, again I have Karolina Mukova quartered number 2 in the Olympics women's side of things. I have Iga to win it. I have Carlitos Alcaraz to win it on the men's side. You have Canada to medal in basketball now, you said?
Canada to medal in basketball. I laid 7 with them tomorrow against Greece. And then I'm excited about my tennis positions in the Olympics.
You got Carlos?
I got Coco at minus 110 to win her quarter when we were on the air. And then I've got Alcaraz at plus 170 and plus 180.
Woo, you got better numbers on Carlitos than I did.
Man,
nice.
I'm more excited about this than any major so far.
Kelly Bidlin.
Grand slams.
Tennis positions. By the way, someone tweeted yesterday they want to return to Kelly Bidlin pronouncing tennis names during a
pitch. Why do you think I avoided two of them right there?
All right, we'll do that as well.
Why do you think I called Mr. Nishikoa Francis Tiafoe's opponent?
Nishioka, you mean?
Yeah, that
all right,
too.
And I got to give you some money because I won't be here, but August I'm going to make a most wins, or I think I'm going to make a most.
They're up at Caesars.
Oh, they're already up?
Yeah, they're up,
oh,
yes.
Did not know that. Okay.
Yeah, Eric tweeted us yesterday, I thought.
Okay.
Retweeted me.
He didn't tweet me. Eric might be mad at me.
Stop making people mad. Now, man.
It's kind of my thing, I guess. So I'm learning. Only never happened until I moved here. All right, we've done all we can do. Best Bets is next. I will not be here next year. Next week. We don't know who is in for me yet. You will. We'll find that out.
I'll be here for a few days. Yeah.
Yeah. Enjoy from VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.